This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Oh, this just goes on for a little bit, doesn't it? It's 7:05 on a Monday eve. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
How y'all doing?
I'm doing marvellously. How are you, Vic? I haven't seen you in like 3 weeks.
It's been a long 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
It's been a long time. I'm sorry, baby.
It's okay. I'm good now.
Oh, it was the Easter break long weekend.
Yeah.
That was a very, very long weekend.
Yeah, it got pretty crazy.
Did you celebrate Easter?
No, I didn't. On the Thursday night, I did go a bit crazy, and then I went a little too crazy, and then felt worse for wear.
I know what you mean.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really good break, though. From Thursday to Monday, I didn't want to go back to work.
Oh, really?
Went back to work on Tuesday morning, and I was just like, why must life be like this? Why can I not frolic with the rest of nature?
I tell you what, having two long weekends, two four-day weeks, it just really, really makes it hard to have a five-day week.
I think four-day weeks should become legal.
Oh, absolutely.
Whoever invented Saturday trade, like full-time Saturday trade, like I remember back in the day, by 1 o'clock the latest, everything was shut. You wanted bread? Mm. Too bad. Organize your crap, man.
Yeah.
But now, I think it's too much. It's too much stimuli for the human.
Saying that though, I do not function well as an adult. I have not got this like adult responsibility down pat at all, in the slightest, in a little bit. I am just really bad at like grocery shopping, doing things that you need to like have. And then when it comes to Saturdays or even Sundays or even like 2 a.m. on a Sunday, and I'm like,
yeah.
I need bread, I need milk. Ha, 7-Eleven.
Lucky for me, I'm still living at home, so I don't have that problem. But when I was away, remember when I went to Traralgon for 2 weeks, I remember I was doing my little radio stunt there, and I was living on my own for 2 weeks, and I was just like, the first week everything was pre-prepared. My mum had me sorted, but then obviously supplies run out after a week.
They certainly do.
Grocery shopping I loved it. I bought things I didn't need, but thoroughly enjoyed. It was just like, you shouldn't go shopping on an empty stomach, you should have a list, you should do this, you should do that. I say screw it. Impulse is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, those tiny teddies were the best impulse buy I've ever had.
I remember when I first moved out of home and my first grocery shop, I did not think that through. I just bought lollies and junk food. I think after about 2 days into the shop, I was just so, so ill. Yep. And so deprived of nutrition.
And the budget was severely demented.
Absolutely. It was definitely impeded. Hey, guys, if at any point tonight you feel like joining in on the conversation, you can send us a text on 0427-JOY-949. Give Front Desk a call on 1300-JOY-949. Or if you have something a little bit longer you want to say, shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au. You can also hit us up on Twitter with the @GNJOY949.
I know you miss us.
You really do miss us. And we want to hear from you.
We're always curious to hear what you got to say, what's going down in your neck of the woods.
Because we've got a pretty cool show on tonight. And it's all for the uni students.
We do indeed.
We've got La Trobe University's Student Union Queer Officer, Lisa, who's coming in to talk about her role within the student body and La Trobe University's queer space. And we're also catching up with Irvin, who was interviewed on Joy 94.9's broadcast from La Trobe's 2013 Pride Week. And for anyone who didn't listen to that broadcast, he shared a really personal moment in his life with Joy 94.9. And his message was really well received, and it just made me feel warm throughout the whole day.
I don't think I could ever do that, what he did.
Yeah, it was. Tell you what, it takes a whole heap of spine to do that. A whole heap of spine.
I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. I'm going to put him on the spot.
So, yeah, and like we said, if at any point tonight you want to join in, send us a text, 0427-JOY-949. Hey, this is Generation Next, and we've got so much more lined up for you. Next up will be Lisa, who's our Student Union Queer Officer. You're listening to Joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Masha Hines, and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
It's 14 minutes past 7. You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Vic and Dill on Generation Next, the home of news and critical information for the LGBTI youth.
Our first guest of this evening is Lisa, who is a student at La Trobe University and also works at the La Trobe University as the Student Union Queer Officer. The queer collective is made up of a diverse group of individuals who attend bi-weekly meetings where they come together to discuss any queer issues that may have arisen either on campus or in the wider community, or sometimes just to have a chat about what it means to be queer.
Lisa, what does your Student Union Queer Day consist
of? I guess the biggest thing it consists of is talking to the queer students, giving them an opportunity to really get involved with the university, helping them deal with any issues that they may have. We have bi-weekly meetings, which we all just sit around, have some lunch, have a chat about what's going on. So yeah,
sounds like a fun day. I would actually hang around to eat some food with you guys too.
Yeah, so they're pretty fun meetings. I mean, they're more informal than anything, but they're a lot of fun.
As the queer officer, do you have to interact with other members of the student council?
Yeah, definitely. For example, this week at La Trobe, we're running our sexual health week, and that's run in conjunction with welfare, women's and queer. So all of us are doing our own little things. Welfare are running some really good consent workshops. I'm running a workshop called It's All About Queer Sex, so that should be pretty cool.
What will be in that workshop?
It's going to be like a question answer panel sort of thing. Hopefully there'll be a nurse there as well who can discuss things like STIs and things like that. So yeah.
La Trobe has a great support network for LGBTI students. Can you run us through some of the areas where services have offered to queer students?
Yeah, definitely. At La Trobe we have some really good queer counsellors who are always there to discuss any issues, so issues with coming out or issues with, you know, even financial issues or study pressures or anything like that. We also have a queer lounge on campus, which is a safe space on campus, which is only inclusive for queer identifying individuals. So it's an autonomous space, so to speak, which has lots of information there, so pamphlets and things like that. And it's also where my office is, so I'm always there if people need to talk as well.
Now, you mentioned the queer campus. Apparently has a reputation of being a source of fiery debates. Can you give us any examples?
Yeah, sure. So the queer lounge on campus is often the source of debate because it is an autonomous space. So for me, the umbrella of queer is very broad and it encompasses a lot of different things. But for others, as soon as they hear it's an autonomous space, they think, you know, you're not allowed in there because I'm heterosexual, or that, you know, people from same parent families aren't allowed in the room. So for me, anything that differs from like heteronormative society is queer. So it's inclusive in that respect, but also, you know, it's an autonomous space because we don't want people coming in who may not agree or have differing opinions. It gives me the ability to ask them to leave, pretty much. So, and that's the source of debate. People don't think that it should be an autonomous space. They think it should be all inclusive.
Right. Okay. Have you had much of a pushback from people who are heteronormative, feeling like they're not allowed, or do they feel... Is there any sense of, like, discrimination in that?
That's the argument that's used. People also say that La Trobe is a safe space, so we don't need the queer lounge. However, it's there so that people can come and, you know, people who are not necessarily out can come, and it's a support network there for them with people who have gone through the same thing and understand. And I guess that's a source of conflict. I always get the saying, you know, you guys want equality, yet you're not allowing people who fall within the heteronormative community into the room. But it's more about having that safe space and having the support there for people who may not necessarily be out at university and don't want other people to know just yet. So,
right, that's actually a really good idea to have behind it.
Yeah, no, it's not bad at all. What made you want to get involved with the queer student space and ultimately how did you become the student officer?
Before I had a hot day last year, I had had previously had nothing to do with the collective, but saw an opportunity to be part of a panel speaking about issues that face the queer community. And when I did that, after I'd done that, people approached me and asked if I'd be interested in running for queer officer in the next election. So I definitely jumped at the opportunity. Thought it was a really good idea. And also, I come from a very diverse family. I was brought up by a single parent. I have three siblings, and out of those three siblings, two of us identify as queer, and the other one is half African, so he's a young man of colour. So I'm a real strong advocate for any minority group, I guess.
Looking at La Trobe University and its work with Pride Week, La Trobe does a lot for the LGBTI youth community. Is there much homophobia at La Trobe, or does Pride Week kind of help to stamp that out?
You know, when we're in whatever group you are that you're in, there's going to be some form of homophobia. It's not a thing that you see quite often at La Trobe, but it has happened on the odd occasion. I think that the difference at La Trobe is we have really good strategies in place to deal with it. So when it does arise, we're able to combat it straight away and try our hardest to stamp it out. So
if a student from La Trobe is listening and feeling in any way ostracized or looking to come for help, what do you have to say to them?
Come and find me. I'm in the Student Union office building. You can't miss my office. It's the first office that you walk into. People often get lost and end up at my office anyway. So, yeah, come and see me. I can, you know, I can take you into the queer space. We can have a chat, or we can have a chat in my office. And I'll be able to give you some, you know, some networking so that you're able to, yeah, overcome that and work within the community. I mean, we've got a really strong queer collective at La Trobe, and if you're feeling like that, get a part of the collective and come and join us. Yeah, it's a good bunch of people.
I just have to say, your shirt tonight is absolutely awesome. It's like studded skull on the, it's just awesome. It is just, it's like a bling skull. It's somewhere between, like, you know,
that you've been staring at the whole
time. Yeah, the whole time. It is awesome. I'm not looking at your breasts. Maybe I am. Hey, Lisa, when we last met at La Trobe Uni's Great Debate, you gave me the impression that you have a message to give to everyone. If you had the entire world's attention for, say, 30 seconds, what would you say?
I guess I would say we're living in the year 2013, not 1913. I think that we need to stop blaming traditional values as an excuse for homophobia and the restriction of equality, especially with marriage equality. I think that we need to move forward from that, and I think we need to accept that we live in a modern society, and the only way to move forward is if everybody bands together and works together to push for equality in society.
That's a really awesome message.
Uni
That's
is the key.
Uni
yes,
is the key.
Yes, it is.
What do you think sets apart? I guess, have you been to any other universities before, or is La Trobe where you've, like, grown as a student?
Initially started at Deakin doing law and science, and during that year it was a really hard year for me. It was the first year that I was questioning my sexuality, so uni was really my last priority at that time, so it didn't really work out for me. And then I had a break and went to La Trobe. So, and when I went to La Trobe, was very surprised by the collective there. It's just such a strong, tight-knit group, which is really great.
It was really warm. I remember when I was there for Pride Week, the 2 days that I did attend, it was just such a lovely, lovely environment. On the Tuesday, you couldn't have got a better day. It was like bright skies, nice and sunny.
We were really lucky that week, actually. It was sunny all week, which is fantastic.
It was absolutely, absolutely beautiful. Lisa, thank you so much for kicking back with us tonight. Hey, you are listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. We've got a stack load of show left for all of you right after this.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Hey, this is Joel Creasy. You're listening to Generation Next, a show for charismatic, charming, attractive, funny young people like myself on Joy 94.9.
That's the best one. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. It's 29 past 7. You're joined tonight by Vic and Dill. Right now we are joined by Urban, who is a student at La Trobe Uni. Urban was interviewed at Joy 94.9's live broadcast for La Trobe University's 2013 Pride Week. For anyone unaware, Pride Week aims to increase support, visibility and an inclusive health promoting university environment. For those that heard Urban's interview on that day, you would have been moved with the words he shared moments before he publicly came out in front of a large body of his student peers and the wider audience of Joy 94.9 were truly beautiful, inspiring and heartwarming.
For those of you who missed out on that interview, Urban summed up what having pride in yourself and our community means. He said, "I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for my future children and their children, because if I do not have the courage to stand up and say that who I am is okay, then how can I expect anyone else to?" Which was, that just affected me so much. That was just like boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Blood. Not many people can do that for Dylan.
Oh, well, that's good then.
So, Evan, if we can backtrack to that moment on campus, what was running through your head right before you made that comment and the moment right after?
I guess it was kind of exhilarating because it was sort of an amalgamation of what I'd wanted to do. It's like I realized, oh, hey, I can do something here. I can help people and this is how I can do it. And it just sort of, it felt really nice. Yeah, I guess that's how you'd say it, because, you know, just a couple of words, but maybe they help somebody. And that's something you can't, you know, you can sleep like that and just be like, hey, I did something today and I helped somebody today. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It was just like finding a purpose that you didn't realize you could do. Yeah, I guess like finding a skill that you didn't realize you ever had.
Wow.
Yeah. Just nice.
I find skills I never thought I had every day. So I hear your mum was there that day. How did she take the passionate news?
She was a bit surprised. She didn't know I was going to be supporting Queer Matters today. She didn't even know I was going to be in there today. But I think she understood where I was coming from when I mentioned, you know, doing it for my children, my children's children. Like, I think she does understand that. She prefers that I like women, though. She'd really like to have grandkids.
Yeah.
No, she's fine with it. She was just, I guess a bit surprised, like, as in she'd never thought of it that way before, that, you know, standing up for, I guess, people who you will never meet was where I would go with what I was doing. And no, she seemed kind of supportive with it. She said, as long as I have grandchildren, Urban, and I'm like, okay. So that was kind of
standard
cool.
Mother response.
Yeah.
What age did you first know that you are same sex attracted?
This is tricky. Cause I mean, I knew in a sense that I was partly attracted to same sex when I was when I turned 13, and that was kind of a strange time for me, because at the time I was like this frothing at the mouth religious homophobe. So it was really weird, because I was really crutching on my best friends. But then in the same breath, I was like cursing myself for being like something that I already was. Like, it's really hard to explain how much that is debilitating, because you sort of like wake up in the morning hating yourself, and it's not a really good place for people to be. I mean, I think it's because of that I want to help people so much, because I don't want people to have to go through that. Like, that was a terrible experience. But yeah, that was the age, about 13, when I was in grade 10, 11. Yeah.
And how was it identifying as same-sex attracted in an Indian, coming from an Indian background?
In three words, dehumanizing, frustrating, and upsetting. Because even though it's not persecuted, as in at the bonfire or something like it used to be not that long ago, it's still seen as irrational or unnatural, even though it's been here with us for years. In fact, like, you know, one of the things I find funny about coming from an Indian background is we have this book, people who may have heard of it, called the Kama Sutra, right? There are sections dedicated to same-sex attracted people. right?
Really?
So, yeah.
I did not know that.
Neither did I. No, they may not be, this book.
They may not be as publicized as the other sections, you know, because people were like, oh, this section surely shouldn't be in there because it's... But, you know, you go to some of these temples they have in India, and they've got these statues, right? And the statues are showing same-sex attracted people, right? You know, like, if people back then could see how simple and, you know, easy it was to have equalism between everybody, then surely, you know, us modern day, you know, forward countries can see that. Like, it's almost embarrassing. It's like, really? Uruguay can have same-sex marriage allowed and Australia can't?
Yeah, that one actually really threw
me. I mentioned that before, yeah.
Yeah, that really threw me when I read that. I was like, what? Look, India decriminalized homosexual sex less than 4 years ago. And mm-hmm. for a lot of people in India and other nations on similar LGBTI acceptance, homosexuality is considered a Western phenomenon or worse, a punishable offense.
Oh, God.
Do you think that it's harder to come out if your background is from a country like India where acceptance of the LGBTI community is quite small?
I don't know whether... I think it's sometimes harder to deal with coming out as opposed to harder to be coming out because it's kind of like easier in westernized countries because it's already known, the concept's already there. But a lot of people, I think, find the struggle between realizing it's okay and getting past that sort of ingrained homophobic culture that they already have or that they grew up with, like I mentioned, like... That takes a lot of work for people, I think. I guess it's sort of like growing up again, but your footing isn't as strong because what like grounding your parents or your culture might have teaching you may not still apply. Like, I don't know whether it's an Indian thing in total or just from my experience, it seems to be that there seems to be an attitude of denial. I think it's what I see a lot.
Like, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, come from a Greek background too. You can get that anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it seems to be popularized. Like people should be denial of themselves as in that they should do that. And it's sort of creepy in a way. It's like, oh yeah, people should suppress themselves, you know,
just
power to
case.
The people.
Yeah, just in case someone thinks differently of you.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd just like to know from any of our listeners, if you come from an Indian background or from a similar background, or you have a similar story to tell, such as Irvin, you should send us a message on 0427JOY949 because we'd like to hear your story. That'd be quite lovely.
Yeah, email me. I keep staring at my screen, people.
Yeah, send us an email if you've got something a little bit longer to say, onair@joy.org.au, or you can hit us up on the Twitter at GNJOY949.
I hear you're part of the Queer Chats support group.
Yeah,
Tell us why you think this is important.
I think the Queer Chats support group is really important for just because it's a... It's like having a sort of environment where if the world was like a giant mask party where everyone wears masks saying, you know, I'm an accountant or I'm straight. And then Queer Chat's like this sort of like secluded room where people can be like, oh, hello, my name is actually, you know, Irvin and I'm bisexual or, you know, I'm not actually this, what I might portray to my family. And I think it's important because it gives people the ability to see through other people's masks. You know, they can pick them up and share their stories and be like, oh, this is what it's like living in, say, Israel and being gay. Or, you know, we had a person come from Iran and he was talking about his stories, about how hard it was for him, you know. And it sort of leads to a greater, I think the term is like sort of, quasi-empathy style, where you can sort of understand where they're coming from and helps you understand yourself a bit more and sort of, you know, where you stand and how you feel about things. Because I find that's the thing people need help figuring out is what do they feel? What does it mean to be queer for them? Because, you know, everyone's got a bit of different feelings on that topic.
Yeah.
Now, you were just saying that, like, international students, they come. They come to these chat spots. They come and sit down with you guys.
Yeah.
When these students start coming into the groups, how do they react when they realize that they are in an environment where there are other LGBTI people? And how are they received in the group sessions?
Pretty welcoming. Like, the receiving bit is pretty welcoming because everyone sort of... I can't say they've been with the person, but they can understand where they're coming from and so the difficulties that they have already gone through. And I guess partly eager. Like, people want to know, you know, what is it like coming from another country where, You know, it's not as easy as it looks. Or what are their family life like? Like, what does it, you know, we had a person from South Africa recently, and he spoke about the difficulties for him where, you know, some of his family were okay with it. Other families were like not so okay with it and kind of ostracizing. And they wouldn't speak to him at all. You know, I mean, I think queer church just appreciates that, you know, that people are coming and, you know, making an effort to sort of tell, you know, how they went and how they got here, I guess. It's just really interesting.
Do you have any words of support for people in similar situations like yourself who have a fear of coming out or being discriminated by their own families? Any words of support for them?
Yeah, I mean, I just want them to keep in mind that fear is just a tool, you know. You can use it to keep yourself safe and all that, but don't let it control your lives because, you know, whatever's going on, us, the La Trobe community, the people at Joy, and everyone else are trying to work to make it so that you shouldn't need to have fear in your own house just because of society's norms. Yeah, I mean, keep it relative. Keep it real.
Keep it real.
I like that.
I like the touch of ghetto in there, Evan. Yeah. Keeping it real. Where's your two-pack shirt tonight?
In the wash, actually.
Yeah.
I got it dirty because I can't sit. When, every time I eat, I just dirty myself. So, 10-and-a-half-year-old, what's up?
Yeah. Oh, do you know, I can't wear white. I cannot wear white. I bought this like really cool white singlet. I was like, yeah, check it out. I'm an adult. And then, like, I think, I don't even know what I did. Like, 5 minutes later, I just had all these stains everywhere on me.
I mean, I'll just make another comment on the keeping it real bit is because I see, I mean, not just for queer issues, but any other issues like, you know, drug abuse or family violence. I've seen a lot where people, the fear sort of takes over and then it becomes this controlling factor in their life. And then they can't do anything because they're, well, stuck, you know, by their own mind because they're afraid of something that doesn't exist. Now, I mean, the situation is terrible, but if people sort of don't fight it actively, it's all too easy, I think, for people to fall into that sort of trap where they can't move and do things for themselves just because of the fear of the unknown or the fear that, you know, it'll happen again or, you know, stuff like that. And it's just you got to keep it relative to what that fear is. You know, it's all right to be afraid of crossing the road because you get hit by a car, but it's not the same when you're afraid to write, you know, a personal message to someone saying you'd like to invite them out just because you're afraid, you know, your mom might read your phone or something and come down on you like a ton of bricks. You know, one is useful, the other one is stifling. And there's got to be, you know, you need to have a balance between where you use your fear as a useful tool and the other one where you don't use it as useful.
Well said. Couldn't have said that better myself.
Evan, thank you so much for coming into the studio and spending some time with us. This is Generation Next, talking about the life of Evan. And coming up after these amazing announcements, we've got some gay school for you. So you want to stick around for that. And if anyone wants to join in on the conversation or wants to add their opinion to the majestic life of Generation Next.
Or just wants to address me personally, that's fine.
Yep. Come on, feed Vicky's ego. She needs it. She loves it. I need it. I live vicariously through Vic. So come on, text in 0427-JOY-949. You can even tell us about your day. How was your day?
Yeah, I'm always curious to know that kind of crap.
I love to know about a stranger's day. I just wish that I didn't feel creepy about asking people on the tram. So they're like, ah.
Just do it.
Just do it.
That's what I say.
We've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Dill and Vic, and it's about time for some gay school.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games, and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside.
It's gay school.
Our turn, baby.
As Seal would say, you have lovely tone. That was not an English accent. It wasn't even trying.
It was a bit Gavner.
Simpsons, baby. On a more serious note, Back to black, Rainbow Crossing removed. Sydney's popular Rainbow Crossing at Taylor Square has been removed, with the state government following through on its decision to tear up the colourful display over safety concerns. Just hold up for 1 second before I continue with that. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
My favourite comment about this was when that lovely gentleman, who I won't say his name because I don't want to stroke his ego, but he said it's just like having like your favourite football colours up. It has the exact same meaning behind it. I was just like, well, why don't you? No, I can't say that on air right now.
No, we'll get sued.
Not on this time slot.
Independent Sydney MP Alex Greenwich let fly on Twitter during the crossing's removal on Wednesday night with a number of sensational claims, including that the roadworks were a surprise attack and aggressive act, and that New South Wales Roads Minister Duncan Gay governs by vendetta. Greenwich also released a statement calling for New South Wales Premier Barry O'Farrell to apologise for the removal. He said it's one thing to call for the removal, but to divert RMS crews under the guise of emergency roadworks is an aggressive act that Sydney siders will not forget. Local businesses, residents and the City of Sydney Council were not given any notice. This even surprised the RMS crew, who at the last minute instructed to remove the crossing. The deadline for the crossing's removal expired on April 1. At the time, a City of Sydney spokeswoman told Star Observer that the council was complying with instructions issued by the RMS and that the crossing was likely to be removed quickly. An online petition started by Greenwich to keep the crossing gathered almost 15,000 signatures. That is quite funny. Yeah. A, because...
His name's...
Yes. I'm sure everyone got that. I mean, I like to make those really stupidity things clear.
Hey, I just want to give a shout out to Alita, who said, "Hi, I don't really have anything to say, just that I love you guys. You make me happy to listen to you. Love, Alita."
What's up?
Alita, we love you. Yeah. Flipped it on you. Think about that. Mardi Gras museum plans shot down. In a joint statement sent out on Friday afternoon, SGLMG and the City of Sydney announced that the Mardi Gras board had withdrawn its expression of interest to use the site with SGLMG, claiming it would prefer to continue to use their current space after its outstanding success during this year's Mardi Gras. The plan for the museum had long met with opposition from Sydney Lord Mayor Clover Moore, who has visions for the city-owned building as a bicycle hub. The issue caused division on council in February when councillors Christine Forster and Angela Vithulkas, is that how you say it, Vic?
Close enough. We'll go
Vithulkas,
with it.
Openly supported the museum's plans over Moore's proposed bicycle hub. A temporary pop-up museum opened on Oxford Street in January to coincide with a Mardi Gras, but has since shut. An apparent change of tone, however, the Oxford site has been quoted as was a better option for our future needs and within our capabilities.
Well, I don't ride a bike, and to be quite honest, I just don't think they should be around.
I am so, so ludicrously...
Please don't hate me, bicycle riders. It's just an honest opinion.
Yeah.
There needs to be a license to ride a bike. I'm going to say, if you get a pen license, you can get a bike license.
Okay, you know how I like make rash decisions and get things that really are stupid?
Of course.
I've got a hipster douchebag bicycle, and it is the most douchey bike in the world. It has no gears. It is black, lime green, and fluorescent orange.
That's what's up.
And I rode it once outside, and then I was just like, I want to give myself an uppercut. I hate it.
Does it have a basket?
No, it doesn't have a basket. But when I first wore it, I had like a pair of sunnies on and a flannelette shirt and some like scratched up jeans. And I was just like, I am my own stereotype.
You just identified yourself to the public. They'll know who you are now.
No, because I haven't worn it since. So it's just like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I feel like I should be just talking in hashtags.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was one of those moments. It was just one of those, this is my wake up call.
Gorilla rainbows pop up, as I mentioned before, about the Taylor Square Rainbow Crossing. It's triggered a wave of do-it-yourself chalk rainbows on roads and laneways around Oxford Street in Sydney's inner west. Organised by local community activist James Breckney, after the removal of the pedestrian crossing on Wednesday night, the rainbows have been popping up on streets in Newtown, Marrickville, Paddington and Surry Hills, with people uploading photos of their efforts online. Breckney said he was blown away with the response the project had gotten from the community. He was really sad to see it go. The Rainbow Crossing was a lovely thing and he wanted to commemorate its short-lived existence. Independent radio station FBI and the Newtown Hotel have also started chalking their own crossings in support.
I think that's awesome. I think that is such a cool thing.
I still would have pulled out the spray paint cans, but that's just me.
That's just Vic. But Vic, you used to do some pretty cool things with the spray paint can.
Yeah, I did. But some people might view that as illegal, perhaps. But yeah, no, I used to make the walls really pretty.
Yeah.
Colors and stuff.
You taught Em and I about like different caps and stuff.
Yeah, there's fat caps, slim caps, skinny caps, gold caps, black caps. Yeah, there's heaps.
Wow. So many caps. Independent candidate announces gay marriage support. Former Tasmanian Liberal, now independent candidate, Hans Willink, says he supports gay marriage in Tasmania, joining a chorus of pro-gay marriage candidates ahead of the May 4 upper house election. I do support marriage equality for gays because I'm not in the business of saving souls, Willink said. Before there's a role for government, you need to establish there's a victim. If it makes... I love this quote. Just this is my favourite.
I know.
If it makes them gays really happy... I can't even say it without laughing, Vic. And no one else suffers as a result, why should government stop them? The three upper house seats are up for election on May 4 after the Nelson, Montgomery and Pembroke election. Sitting members in all three seats opposed the marriage equality bill last year, which lost by just 2 votes in the upper house. Australian Marriage Equality says all candidates have announced support for marriage equality, except those endorsed by the Liberal Party. AME National Director Rodney Croom said Willink's socially progressive and fiscally conservative position could be a game changer. The fact that Hans Willink is an independent Liberal who supports marriage equality is a potential game changer. Changer in a seat like Nelson, where there are many socially progressive pro-business voters, Croom said.
It's my favorite news of this week. I mentioned it before when we were chatting with Zoe.
Oh, yeah.
Basketball icon Urban Magic Johnson Jr. has come out in support of his openly gay 20-year-old son, Urban Johnson III. Just, I don't know why you'd name your kid after you.
Oh, it's such a sycophant, narcissistic thing to do. But hey, he supports us, so yeah.
Cookie and I love EJ and support him in every way. We're very proud of him, which he told to TMZ. He told his son, hey, we are here to support you. We're going to love you no matter who you are, what you do. We just want you to love yourself. Johnson was actually diagnosed with HIV in 91 at the height of his NBA career and became a staunch advocate for LGBTI rights after his sexuality was called into question after being diagnosed with the virus.
I was going to say his son is like, okay, because you think of like the stereotypical athlete and then you think of what the stereotypical athlete's child would look like. And his son, he is super fabulous. Like he has like, he's like totally like pencil thinned eyebrows.
Oh God. I've actually never seen a photo of him.
I may have stalked on Twitter just briefly.
Okay.
Or a whole weekend.
I might just do that in our break myself. Yeah.
Just
for fun.
Dive on in there. No, but I think it's really awesome. And I think that it's really important for important for public figures. They might not identify as same-sex attracted, but I think it's important for them, if they do believe in equality, for them to stand up and say that, hey, there's no difference between a gay person, a lesbian, a bisexual person, or a transgender person.
So say, don't forget them.
No, how can you forget them? They make up our rainbow. Without them, we're not a full rainbow. We're like a broken rainbow.
A broken rainbow.
Think
about
that one.
I was going to say lack of colour, but that's all right. We'll go with your theory.
It's broken. Same-sex formal turns 3. The throng of more than 400 young Victorians who converged on Collingwood last Saturday were not from the same graduating year, same school, or even the same town, but they all supported the right of their friends to take whoever they liked to the school dance, making the third same-sex formal held in Melbourne. The event is run by youth support organisation and friend of Generation Next, Minus 18, and its general manager, Micah Scott, said this year's event was slightly bigger than last year. He said, every single year we get more and more young people coming along, but as well, more people are sponsoring tickets and we are getting more and more people contacting us before the formal wanting to help out and get involved. For anyone who is unaware, you can buy a ticket for a young same-sex attracted person who can't afford a ticket to the formal. So if you like just feel like being a bit generous, or if you were denied the ability to take your partner to your formal, well, hey, you can, you know, buy a young person a date or a ticket to that formal.
Buy a young person a date.
You can buy a young person a date.
It's not an escort service here, deal.
Oh, Man, no. No, but it's like, I think that that's really lovely, and it helps, you know, instill our community. More than 2,500 was donated from the public to allow up to 110 young folk who may have faced some disadvantage to attend the formal free of charge. How beautiful is that?
Very beautiful.
It's 7:55. We are nearly out of time. We've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hi, guys. It's Johnny Jenkins, a.k.a. Fat Gay Kid. I'm super famous for being super talented on YouTube. And you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
Generation Next. Love it.
4 minutes to wait. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Dylan Vic.
That's me.
Yeah, and I'm Dill. Hey, I just thought I'd add that in there just in case
no one knew.
Yeah, they couldn't tell my voice. Thank you so much to our guests that came in tonight. Big shout out to Lisa, who is the Student Union Queer Officer at La Trobe University. If you see that girl around, go up to her and give her a big ups.
Yeah, I agree. All you La Trobe people are pretty lucky. I went to Deakin. They didn't really do much.
I went to the Deakin Pride formal, same-sex formal. They had it at Three Crowns in North Melbourne, and that was really fun.
I don't want to know how many formals you've been to here, Dill.
No, I know. I didn't even go to my own formal.
I think you're running out of invitations. I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah, but Vic, we all know that I'd show up to the opening of an envelope, so... Got any envelopes? I'm there, baby. I'm there. And also, I'd love to give a big shout out to Irvin as well, who came in and just gave us a bit
much
of
respect.
A catch up. Yeah, mucho respect. We are out of here, but you want to stick around for Worldwide Waves? They've got a show lined up for you that you don't want to miss, and we'll be back next Monday.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.